Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. I have Lorena to take care of these papers along the way, but she's blocking it. Okay. The bug of the microphone. I was working on the microphone. I'm gonna let the bug live. He doesn't look too threatening. Always something in there. Well, good morning, as I said. Now, I'm not sure what his homies were expecting from Jesus, but clearly they did not get it. And this in no way deterred Jesus from what he knew he had to say. And to an unresponsive crowd, he still continued to demonstrate his authority. And this blew their minds. How is it, Jesus thinks, that they don't get it? And I wonder if you think about this when you're out and about, or you're talking about our church, or telling them the good news about what we're planning to do here with the new building and everything. Do they get it? Do they understand how important it is to have Jesus as the center of your life? Well, whether they get it or not, it's not going to deter us from continuing as his disciples in the world. Maybe one reason that we sometimes hesitate to share the gospel, the good news, we don't expect a positive reaction necessarily, and we don't feel comfortable inviting them to church. I'm not sure why that is, and I include myself in that. Maybe it's because we feel like Jesus, we would be rejected, and they would say, well, who do you think you are? Why should we come to church? Or do we avoid the gospel? Do we avoid sharing the good news because we don't have enough faith that our testimony will be heard seriously, or that we will be laughed at or even given an eye roll as we share the seemingly impossible story of Jesus coming into the world and the seemingly impossible story of how he left? Today's gospel reminds us that Jesus will do what Jesus does, and it's not always what we want or what we expect. So what in the world? Who in the world is Jesus saying that he is? The crowd is just like flabbergasted. Doesn't he know his place? Doesn't he know who he is? Isn't he just the carpenter's son? But all of that, it doesn't faze Jesus. He doesn't stop from declaring exactly what is on his mind and exactly what his place is. Nevertheless, we read that he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. That line right there has puzzled me off and on for years, because it sounds like Jesus lost his power. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think that he couldn't do it because the people who were the recipients of his blessing, the recipients of his healing, didn't believe. And you have to believe. You have to believe. And I think that some of the reason he couldn't do anything, was that they weren't open to it, as I said. I don't know, but this churns around in my head every time I read this passage. Amazed at their unbelief. Here Jesus thought he was going to come into town, see his old friends and his family, and have a great reception. But see, here's the cool part. That didn't happen. But what did happen was that Jesus didn't fall victim to their behavior. He continued to do what Jesus does. He wasn't unable, but rather he was so, for lack of a better word, gobsmacked by their unbelief that he knew that whatever he did wouldn't be heard or accepted. And he leaves town probably shaking his head and maybe even grieving that those he considered family and friends did not hear him and did not believe. Rejection by his hometown in no way deterred Jesus. In no way stopped his ministry. Rather, he steps up his game and sends out his disciples into the world to preach the good news. You would think that after being rejected, he might go and reconsider what he was saying, what he was doing. But we're talking about Jesus here. And instead, he was empowered. And he called his disciples and he sent them out and he gave them authority. Now that's the key to this whole passage. Jesus gave his disciples authority to do the things that he had been doing. They go out with confidence. They're not clothed with fancy stuff or fancy shoes or fancy anything. They're clothed with confidence and the knowledge that God will provide for them. God or strangers will provide for them. That's faith. And they offer the truth of Jesus and they don't expect any personal reward. And Jesus says, if they don't want you in their house, just leave. Move on. So there's a lot of good advice for us in this little story right here, this pericope. And sometimes we just have to, when we're praying for somebody and we're speaking to someone on a regular basis about how important it is for Christ to be in their life, and they just aren't getting it, sometimes we just have to move on. And we have to hope that somehow, somewhere, that what we said is going to take root, that some little seed is going to take root, and that it will grow in their hearts and their mind and their soul. And one day they're going to come to you or to someone else and say, hey, what'd you say your church was? These disciples were able to cast out demons, heal the sick. Each one of us, if empowered by Jesus, has that ability. That's one of the most important things about healing ministry, is that we have to completely empty ourselves of who we think we are in the process and realize that whatever happens, happens because of Jesus' authority. Jesus is the source of our authority. We are the followers of him. We are not leaders of Jesus. That's kind of a weird statement, I know. But sometimes I think, I'm like, come on, Jesus, this is what I need for you. Would you please do this and everything will be fine? It doesn't work that way. Sometimes we figure that we have Jesus figured out. And we do that in ways in the church, the church, capital C, where we have things like canons. Those are the rules and laws of the church. We have things like processes that we have to go through, things we have to do, things that we have to be in order to be followers of Jesus. But all those rules, all the canons, all that stuff, none of it defines theology, virtue, and mercy in the context of who Jesus is and who Jesus calls us to be. We never know when Jesus is going to show up. And I find that both frightening and exciting. Every morning, to expect the unexpected from God. But we have to watch for it. We have to listen for it. So as we consider this whole passage from Mark and Mark in general, we know that authority is really important to Mark. He really wants to make sure that everybody knows that all authority comes from Jesus, and he does that in his writings and the way he tells the stories. Jesus doesn't send us out as know-it-alls. Sometimes we just don't know, or sometimes I just don't know. Sometimes I'm talking to someone and they'll ask me one of those questions, those, you know, kind of trick Christian questions, like why do bad things happen to good people? And I don't know. Jesus doesn't send us into the world to fit in. He doesn't send us into the world to be like everybody else. If we are truly disciples of Jesus, we are countercultural. We are not willing to compromise who we are or what we are for the sake of our friends or our family or anything in the world. We have to humbly commit ourselves to all that we encounter, all people of all different ways and thoughts. So the whole gist of this is that I hesitate to say we need a rule of life. But we need some sort of idea of what it is that we want to do each day for Jesus. Now, rule of life, we've talked about that before, is simply a list of things that we intend to do on a regular basis to keep ourselves focused on our Christian journey. It might include daily morning devotions or prayer before you go to bed. It can include all kinds of things. But the thing of it is that we have to do something in our lives to stay focused on what it is that Jesus calls us to do, which is to go out into a troubled world with a clean heart, a clean soul, and a clean mind, and know that the message we have for the world is greater than anything else in the world, and the world cannot overcome the message of Jesus. I had a little bit of a quote for you all, which I left on the printer, so I'll send it to you by email. But basically the idea is that we are redeemed through the Christ. We are called by the Christ. We are sent out by the Christ. And we need to live by the Christ. Amen. Thank you.